This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hello, I'm Jonathan Carl with ABC News. We've got a special bonus edition here of Powerhouse Politics. I got to sit down, and it's a good thing we were sitting down, with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar at about 7'2". Fascinating guy, sports hero, absolute legend, but also a speaker at the Democratic Convention and a political columnist. He's got a column at Time Magazine, had some fascinating things to say on the issue of race and gun violence.
When did you, you know, you've got a column you do which touches on all kinds of political issues. You're here now as a speaker at the National Convention on the night of the nomination, acceptance speech. When did you start to become political? Is this a long time coming?
Yeah, it's a long time. I've always paid attention to what was going on. It really started when I was in grade school and I was watching the events that comprised the civil rights movement. You'd watch on TV each night, and sometimes it was horrific, and sometimes it was inspiring. But, you know, the civil rights movement was something that really gripped all of my attention, and it lasted until I got out of college in 1969, just 1 year after the final Voting Rights Act.
I want to ask you, I think a lot of people don't realize that your father was a police officer.
Yes.
And your grandfather was a police officer.
Yes, they both were.
So what's been your reaction seeing the horrific series of events we have seen, both shootings by police and now the targeting of police, the shooting, you know, Dallas, Baton Rouge?
It's a frightening thing to see the breakdown start to occur like that, because without the police, we don't have a civil society. We have chaos, and we need police absolutely. They are really heroes. We ask too much of them, and they try to do it with a smile, and that's pretty incredible. But we have to get to a point where we can talk to the police, and the police can talk to the people that they have to protect and serve. And I think that's gone by the wayside a lot in our community, in our country, because police are making assumptions. People who are being policed make assumptions. And they're just talking past each other. There is no conversation. They're not even talking past each other. There's no conversation. And we need to get that conversation going again.
And you see a reference here, Black Lives Matter. And in the Republican convention, you heard a lot of Blue Lives Matter. Like you said, it's like two entirely different conversations.
It's in two entirely different conversations. And the fact that institutionalized racism has corrupted our criminal justice system has made it more difficult for the conversation to take place, because people make assumptions about people of color, and people of color make assumptions about the law enforcement apparatus, and neither one of them are correct. So we got to get around to talking to each other, get these two different points of view to communicate, so that we can have a peaceful society. That deals with the issues that need to be dealt with.
And your dad was a transit cop in New York City.
A transit cop in New York City. And, they consolidated him just before he retired, 2 years before he retired.
What would he have made of seeing all this? How would he be looking?
My dad would have been upset. My dad would have been upset that so many black people are being killed unnecessarily. I think the thing that really, the one that disturbed me the most was the killing of the kid in Cleveland, Tamir Rice. Yeah. It was totally unnecessary.
And with a toy gun.
He had a toy gun. He's playing on Christmas Day. My goodness. Yeah. And the officer didn't even wait 2 seconds before he shot him. You can't say, put the gun down, put your hands up, you're under arrest in 2 seconds. You know, what kind of training did this individual have?
And then you've seen vilification of the police in some of the protests.
Right, and that's wrong too, because police are just out there doing their best job, but sometimes they get impatient, and They think that violence can shorten the amount of time that they have to work hard, and other people, people on the other side think that all of the cops are biased. And, we have to get past that issue.
So you have been quite tough on Donald Trump, I think it's fair to say. Did you watch his speech in Cleveland?
Yeah, I watched some of it.
What did you think?
I think he's pandering to fear. The answer to our problems is not chauvinism and fear-mongering. We have to come up with solutions. He has no solutions. He just says that he's the solution. He's going to solve all of our problems through his brilliant understanding of all the issues. And nobody's that smart. Nobody.
Well, you've gone even further. I mean, I saw one of your columns. You seem to compare him to ISIS, or at least his method of argument.
His method of argument is giving ISIS more credence, because by saying that America hates Muslims, ISIS is making American Muslims feel that they are not appreciated or respected. And then we hear the same talk coming from a presidential candidate that a certain segment of our society should be discriminated against on the basis of their religion. This isn't what America is about. The majority of American Muslims are peace-loving and do not subscribe to terrorism and are actually involved in helping America combat terrorism. I mean, this is what should be the case, and by and large, it is the case.
So what is Trump tapped into, though? I mean, you're not the first to make this argument against him. Obviously, we've heard it a lot throughout this convention.
Right.
And yet, he's attracted a huge following. He won a big victory in the Republican primaries. He's, attracted huge crowds. He's clearly tapped into something and energized a segment of this country. What is that? Why do you think that is? I mean, you're not suggesting that all his followers are, fear mongers or filled with hate. I mean,
just people are uneasy. It's tough times, and it's a lot easier to build a movement based on negatives than it is on positives. You talk about solutions, people get bored with that. But you talk about who you can blame, people can get behind that and support somebody, a certain group that you think is the source of the problem. And the source of the problem is lack of jobs and the fact that our school system is not serving everybody. People aren't qualified to go out and find jobs. I hope we can just come together and support Hillary Clinton. I think that she will do a great job. She has the experience and the know-how to deal with what it takes to operate in Washington successfully. She's been there. She's seen how it works. She knows how it works. I think we should give her a chance.
And you know her well. I mean, she made you an ambassador, as I recall.
Oh, yeah. I met the Clintons. There was a weekend of jazz back in the 90s that I was able to attend, and I met the Clintons. They were jazz fans, and they had some events at the Kennedy Center and at the White House. And I got to meet the Clintons, and they're nice people, and we've maintained a friendship.
Have you gotten to know Obama at all?
A little bit. I got to meet Mr. Obama before he got the presidential nomination in 08, in 06, while he was senator. I got a chance to meet him. I thought he was a very bright and progressive kind of thinker, and I'm glad he got the job. It's a shame that he didn't get any cooperation from the Republicans in Congress, because could have gotten a whole lot more done if they had just treated him like they would have treated any other person that beat them in a federal election.
Yeah, we've gotten to a pretty divided point in our politics.
It doesn't make any sense. These are people that are supposed to be doing their job for all Americans, but they can't cooperate with the president because they don't think they like the way he looks. That's not the way to do it.
Okay, we're almost out of time. I got to ask you a basketball question, though. Watching this great rivalry we've seen, Steph Curry and LeBron James, watching those two guys, are we watching potentially either one of them or both of them? And I know it's early to say this. Could either make that pantheon of the greatest of all time up there with Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. What's your take on those guys?
Well, I think they're two of the best athletes that are playing in the NBA at this present time. And depending on how successful they are, will depending on how well we remember them. But even with that thought, they're still outstanding. And they provided a wonderful playoff series. Playoffs were decided by 3 points on the last shot of the playoffs in Game 7. And that's pretty
doesn't
amazing.
Get any better than that, does it?
And it was the same thing for the NC2A tournament.
Yeah. You know,
with Villanova winning on a three-pointer with the time running out. Can't do any better than that. The people that are making the pairings and setting up the what do they call it? The brackets.
The brackets, yeah, unbelievable. Do you do brackets, by the way?
No, I can't do that because I don't see all the college teams, so I can't appraise them. But I think that basketball fans had to have enjoyed this year. It was very competitive, and they'll probably see more of it this year to come.
And to see Cleveland do what they did to come back the way they did. And
then was so interesting. And, geez, Cleveland's on a roll, man. How about those Indians?
Yeah. It's been a long, long time coming.
Yeah, it has.
All right. Well, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you have a book.
It's called Writings on the Wall, and it's all about the political writings and my observations about what's happening in America.
Subtitled, Searching for a New Equality Beyond Black and White. Well, it's a real honor to see you.
It's great talking with you.
Thank you, sir.
All the best.
All right, that'll do it for this week's edition of Powerhouse Politics. Please take a moment and rate our show on iTunes. Write a review. Tell us what you think. Remember, you can listen to the other podcasts from ABC News, abcnewspodcast.com. I'm Jonathan Carl.